Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ben Lyons.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What do you think of when you see that toll booth scene again?
If there were no girls on this set, I wouldn't have done it.
What do you mean?
I got an image here.
James Caan, you are the best for doing this.
Earlier on the show, singer and 49ers fan Asher Roth. Still to come, host of the Cinephile podcast, Adnan Verk. Plus, host and reporter Danielle Robay. And now, here's Ben Lyons.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. As always, you can find us on Peacock, peacocktv.com, SiriusXM channel 85, NBC Sports, Westwood One Terrestrial Radio. You guys are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Honestly, I haven't even heard of some of these platforms.
To borrow a phrase, you can't stop us. You can only hope to contain.
Odyssey, the Odyssey app, streaming for free. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What's up with the show TikTok? When you get to TikTok on the Rich Eisen Show? Open up a can of worms there.
Big point of contention.
You guys got a lot of like young people in the family here. Come on.
Well, we're all old here, but Rich's son Xander is 13, wants to run the show.
I just don't see how our platform, like in TikTok, where it's all about either you're dancing or you're scantily clad.
It's not.
I learned a delicious feta pasta off of TikTok. It was so delicious.
But we're not doing that either.
Sold out of feta in Iceland. The entire country of Iceland went through a feta crisis because the TikTok recipe was so delicious. And I can attest, it's really good.
Have you ever been to Iceland?
No.
We went to Iceland a couple years ago for Christmas, and we literally ate whale. We didn't know it was on the menu. No. We went to one of the Price Fix Christmas. All of a sudden, this is a bit that Sarah does in her act, and it's true. We went to Price Fix meal for dinner for Christmas, and they just bring you item. You know what I mean? One of those things. And so they bring us this thing. It looks like little steak. It's great. We're eating it. It's kind of an appetizer. And then the waiter comes over and goes, "First time eating whale?" And we go, "Excuse me? What did you just say? Yes, it was our first time, and it's my last time.
Now, she had tied that routine to her routine about James Vanderbeek's fertility. You might be onto something there.
I know.
So good. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, terrible. So anyway,
All right, Iceland.
All right. Another thing I wanted to listen to.
Think we got our Iceland talking for the week. Are we good on Iceland talk? We're good?
Okay. Right. Also, it was a great time. Have you ever seen a waterfall?
Yeah.
Great.
Then you haven't.
You've been to Iceland.
Stop.
In the radio open there, we had two sound bites, one from James Caan and one from Tony Sirico, who played Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos. Just shout out. We lost those two guys last week. And as a show, we love gangster movies. Obviously, The Godfather is one of our favorite movies. Sopranos is one of our favorite show ever. So just a shout out to those families for losing two icons in Tony Sirico and James.
Incredible how many different types of people those shows have affected and how many fans are from kind of all walks of life. It's not just sort of one type of person who likes a gangster movie or likes The Sopranos. You get people from literally the entire tapestry of humanity, which speaks to the greatness of those particular pieces, obviously.
Do you have a James Caan or Tony Sirico story?
No stories. Obviously, you know that's the day that Bobby Thompson hit the home run in the World Series was the day that Sonny Corleone died at the toll booth. You can hear that in the background playing of that scene, which I think is very cool. A little baseball shout there. But, you know, I was with my dad over the weekend when the news passed of James Caan and some of the radio shows were calling him for reaction and stuff. And we're just going through his career and just the versatility as an actor who didn't have traditional leading man like stature. He was a smaller guy, but could do all types of genres of a film. And it's what kept him as a working actor, you know, deep into later years of his life. And a grinder. I saw a great quote about him about New York. And, you know, I grew up in the city, lived out here for 15 and now back in New York. And you get like a sixth sense that's just in, from being a New Yorker. And you can leave, you can travel, you can live somewhere else. But I think he said something very James Caan. You know who to punch and who not to punch if you're from New York, right?
That's pretty good.
And I think that really rings true as I'm experiencing this transition in my own life. That New Yorker stays with you, and it stayed with him as an actor, I think, in all the stuff he did.
I thought it was interesting, too, to see there was an article about some of the films he passed on. And, like, everyone in those, they went on to win Best Actor. It was like, wow.
Yeah, that's got to really
incredible. Yeah, probably Stings, but he also, it didn't seem like it really bothered him.
No, like, because you know there's another role around the corner. Yeah. And there is something about, in Hollywood, if you truly believe that the role goes to the person who it was meant for and you really live your life that way, it's the only way to kind of navigate that. Because otherwise, you know, I mean, God, if every time I turned on the Ellen DeGeneres show and was like, I could have been the DJ, you know, like I'd pull my hair out.
Del Tufo does that.
You know, actually,
I was gonna say TJ, you auditioned for that, right?
No, I know, so did I. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like 15 years ago when she
I
sent a tape in for
the guy from Meet the Parents did it or something.
Johnny Abraham.
James Caan passed on Gene Hackman's role in French Connection. He passed on Jack's role in Cuckoo's Nest, Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters. He passed on Han Solo. It's just kind of crazy to think about all the parts that he...
But he did say yes to the coach and the program, so that's pretty sweet.
By the way, and arguably one of the greatest football movies ever.
I don't think there's any argument to one of the greatest football movies ever. Everyone will put it in that category.
And he's the Elf. I mean, come on.
Elf. Like, that was a role that's supposed to go to Gene Wilder. And so there you go. So that's the universe opening up a moment for him when it closed the door on another part in the past. All right, we got Overreaction Monday here. What are we overreacting to?
Yeah, let's
to?
Do it.
Let's
do it. Oh, come on now. Everything.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Monday.
All right, normally we go crazy football heavy on these, but we'll go half and half just because... Because why not? Rich isn't here.
Because nothing's going on
we
in
can
football.
Do, we can do whatever we want. All right, one of the big stories. One of the big stories. What did you just say?
I said, that's why you stole his sign.
Yeah, I'm the best. By the way, I'm the best.
Yeah, I just noticed.
By the way, forget that. Rich is on an epic vacation where he can't put his phone down without his kids.
Yeah, exactly. He's not being the best.
He sent his kids away to summer camp so he could go to Italy.
He can have the best pasta.
That we don't need to see Instagrammed about for the 14th time.
It does.
I was up at 4:45 this morning with my kid because he doesn't want to sleep like a psycho. All right. Some news over the week, last week that you guys, we haven't really talked about yet, but Baker Mayfield no longer on the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield traded to the Carolina Panthers for basically a bag of balls. My overreaction here is Baker is going to win more games than the Browns this year.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that is absolutely what's going to happen. I think the energy around the Browns is toxic, and it starts with the Deshaun Watson situation. I hate even calling it a situation. That really demeans, I think, the severity of it.
I agree.
I think that bringing somebody like that, not only into your organization, but to lead your organization and be the face of it, tells you everything you need to know about the people running that organization. And it's a reason why they've been the laughingstock of the NFL for my entire lifetime. And it's going to go right back to business as usual in Cleveland. And I think Baker is going to have an opportunity in Carolina to win some football games. It's a division that's ripe for the taking besides Tampa. He can go out there, and if he wins 8 football games this year, it'll be more than the Browns. I think the Browns are going to be a total dumpster fire.
Do you think Deshaun gets the year, or did we see Watson play football this year?
I don't think we ever see him play football again.
Over, done.
I think it's a wrap. I think the more that comes out from these stories and these allegations and these charges, the less chance there is for him to go out there and compete in the NFL.
Dang. All right. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about
Overreaction Monday. Let's go.
That is great. No, I love that, actually.
Hot takes.
Let's talk about the Cowboys, TJ, because did you see the quote from Dak Prescott this weekend?
I did not.
Oh, Dak's in the best shape of his life. We are in that time of year, boys. We are in I am in the best shape of my life time.
Which is followed by I'm going to Nordstrom's and buying everybody the latest designer bag time. So you're going to see the entire Cowboys offensive line with some Prada purse bags.
Prada the move this year?
I think, I don't know, Prada's TJ. What's the fanny pack of choice right now?
You know, I'm not in that tax bracket, so I wouldn't know.
You're not the resident fanny pack guy here?
Wait a second. No. Speaking of the fanny pack, I might.
What, you have a fanny pack?
Oh, see, God, there you go. If anybody is going to know about fanny packs.
Oh, man.
Got that fanny pack.
I was watching Moana last night. Great movie. Dak Prescott is in the best shape of his life. Lamar Jackson has reworked his throwing motion and has put on 15 pounds. I still think Dak's going to have the better 2022 season than Lamar. Is that an overreaction?
No, see, there's actually a gym in Las Vegas. It's called Best Shape of Your Life. Ben Simmons works out there in the summertime. He's in there right now. He's in the best shape of his life.
He's grinding.
I think Lamar Jackson's going to have the better season because he's a better football player. I think he's got a more dynamic set of skills. I think his team is far more functional than the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that Lamar Jackson's going to have he's going to figure out this contract stuff after he watches the sequels to How High. And then he's going to have a better year than Dak Prescott individually.
And what way are they more functional? Just out of curiosity.
The Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah. Which way are the Ravens more functional?
Oh, they're always winning more football games and won more Super Bowls in recent years. They go deeper in the playoffs. They're just a better organization. They have cooler jerseys now. I like that purple and black on TV.
Everything you're saying is kind of, you know, debatable. Yes,
there's no confidence coming out of Cowboy Nation this summer. Last summer, maybe it was TJ and I were just meeting each other and he was peacocking, but I think that this year he's really deflated.
We'll get into it later as the season. I'll get more hype, but it's like this. No matter what, if I try to be cool and be like, I don't know how good we are, I get roasted. Right. If I try to be like ridiculous and be like, we're going to win the Super Bowl, I get roasted. Yeah. So I'm going to get roasted, but I'm just going to like wait until like closer to the season to let the roast.
Yeah, it's called being a Knicks fan. How about you guys? Who do you guys got? Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson?
He's going to wait until they're 3-8 before he gets roasted.
That will never happen.
I think Dak is awesome. I love Dak as a person, and I like watching him play football, despite that he plays for the Cowboys. I think Dak's going to have a really good year.
All right. What else are we reacting to? You think it's an overreact to?
All right, yeah. Come on now. ESPN is saying that they talked to an AFC personnel evaluator. Said the Broncos are tailing their offense around Russell Wilson. I think that would be a smart idea to tailor your offense around the quarterback.
This is real? Wait, this is real? This is a real thing.
The Broncos are going to tailor their offense around Russell Wilson.
What?
I don't know. It's just a quote. They got a good supporting cast. So my overreaction is this. Broncos, top five offense this year.
Well, that's, I guess, a complete overreaction. No, they're not going to be a top five offense. But no, I just love the idea that someone puts on their taxes at ESPN, evaluator. What was their position?
Oh, no. So ESPN talked to an AFC personnel evaluator.
AFC personnel evaluator. Yes. This is what I do for a living. I'm the highest in my profession.
I evaluate personnel.
Yes. The Broncos are going to run the offense through us. This is what I get paid to do.
Tailor.
They're going to tailor it. Tailor. It's a technical term in my industry. Tailoring. Yeah. That's insanity. So I laugh at that. Yeah, duh. Okay, thank you. No, they're not going to be a top five offense. Was Seattle a top five offense?
Russ had that.
I love Russ.
Remember the beginning of 2020? He was like crushing it. MVP
Let
talk.
Russ cook, fantasy, we cooking, all this stuff. Yeah.
Touchdowns.
I don't think so. Who's playing football out in Denver right now?
They still have Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. They got some good running backs.
Devontae Walker.
Yeah, Devontae.
Nobody's excited. No. I like the addition of Russell Wilson in Denver. I think it makes them better. I think that division's way too tough. They're the third best team, maybe even last in the division. And I think that, it's not going to be a top. When Denver's always had success, traditionally, it's been their defense. So I don't see them all of a sudden just putting 40 points on the board every week.
All right, let's switch over to NBA, Jay. You can get rid of the NFL films music. All right, how about this one? We've been talking a lot about Kevin Durant. Obviously, we love talking about LeBron. KD is going to win another title before LeBron and Kyrie.
I think there's a better chance of Kevin Durant winning an NBA championship before LeBron and Kyrie do, if they play together, if they play separately. KD has more high-level basketball in front of him than those other guys do. Kyrie doesn't play high-level basketball anymore because he's never available. He's missed, I believe, 5 of the last 7 postseasons at some point because of injury or just because of
Only
something.
Only 30 years old.
So there's always a... When people call Kyrie the most skilled player, it drives me nuts. He's not skilled because he's not available. And availability is the best skill set to have because without it, you have nothing. So he can dribble through his legs like any Harlem Globetrotter. He can rucker and one you. He can be efficient. He's incredible. But if you can't do it every night, it doesn't matter. Honestly, if you guys had said, hey, Rich is going to be over Instagramming in Italy, we need you to come over here and host the show. We love listening to you talk about sports. I really appreciate it. But if I wasn't physically here to do it, it didn't matter if I had the hottest takes or if I had the funniest jokes or knew the best people to book on the show. If I wasn't available,
right,
just to wake up and physically be here is my best skill. Just to exist is what I bring to the table.
Actually, you may not have even gone to bed last night, so you didn't have to wake up. You just
I played 18 holes and was staying up all night thinking about that four putt, the dreaded four
putt.
You
had a four putt?
Of course I have a four putt. I'm human. Because that Mountain Gate, like two-tiered five, whatever, country club golf, nobody needs to hear about. But I think that Kevin Durant will have higher levels of basketball in front of him than LeBron and Kyrie. LeBron's almost 40 years old. Like, we can't just assume this is going to happen forever. And he hasn't, you know, been in high-level basketball in 2 years. So I go with Kevin Durant on my overreaction Monday.
Kevin Durant, only 33, birthday in September, so he'll be 34 when the season starts. Do you think Durant is playing for Brooklyn this year?
I do think Kevin Durant is playing for Brooklyn. I think it was a smart move by Rich and KD to push their chips in and put some pressure on the organization. They don't have enough. And I don't think Kevin Durant wants to be in the business of playing basketball with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the exact opposite to me and Kevin Durant. Ben Simmons is not a hooper. He plays basketball really well, but he's not a hooper. He doesn't have a love of the game that you can just sense and tell and feel. KD has touched every court on earth. This man is at the Rucker, the Olympics. He's overseas. Kevin Durant is a basketball player. Like, that's what he is. He's a hooper. He dresses like it. He carries himself. He is a hooper.
Ben, can you ever imagine Kevin Durant buying a multi-million dollar mansion in Southern California that didn't have a basketball court on it?
Is that what happened to Ben Simmons?
Yeah. And then he just sold it. He sold it a year later. He got rid of it.
But yeah, that was Brockman's big thing like 2 years ago. He bought this $12 million house and Brockman's like, there's not a basketball
hoop. It had two kitchens, but not a basketball hoop.
Right. The guy loves making frittatas, but he doesn't want to work on his right hand.
Yeah. All right. How about
also, I can trust a man in an iced out goat chain. Don't know if I can trust a man in an iced out kangaroo. I don't know. Just saying.
Hey, by the way, speaking of things that you ate when you went to a foreign country that you didn't realize, went to Australia.
Oh, yeah, that kangaroo's gamey down there.
Yeah, ate kangaroo.
No.
Oh, really?
No, not into that. Oh my gosh.
It did taste like steak. It was just...
Are you guys watching Summer League?
Yeah.
I was trying to get you guys to go.
I know. I was trying to get you guys to go. How about this overreaction? Orlando is going to regret not drafting Chet Holmgren.
That is complete ridiculous overreaction.
Did not watch Summer League.
We love Chet. No, Chet's awesome. Love Chet Holmgren.
I watched Chet Holmgren destroy Houston.
Okay, so you didn't watch the next game when Kenny Lofton Jr. undrafted put him in the blood.
This kid from Duke that they got.
Kenny Lofton is like 400 pounds.
First of all, he's not, but Paolo is crushed it. Is doing.
I know. Paolo's great. We love Paolo.
Next level.
I'm just saying. It's overreaction Monday.
I know, and I'm reacting. That's the point. I'm reacting.
I haven't been able to spit hot takes for 9 days. You understand that?
Cage is probably tired of hearing.
I did get a sense, though, of what's happening down in Oklahoma. I went down to West Forth the other day and was watching the games, and some dude was out there hooping, and people were like, oh, Josh Giddey. And like, okay, you're starting to get love in playground culture a little bit. Like, something's cooking down there in Oklahoma. Into it. I like it.
But yeah, Chet was hella impressive that first. I mean, six blocks. Yeah. That was the record.
Big Chet Holmgren guy, but that Powell guy's for real. Anything else to overreact to?
Yeah, we got a couple baseball, but I know we got to get going.
All right, so we'll do this. We'll get to the baseball stuff with Adnan because he does work for MLB. But I want to talk tennis with Adnan because he's the biggest Roger Federer guy on the planet. We saw more history yesterday out Wimbledon. Joker getting his seventh.
I got some takes there.
Yeah, too. I'm sure you do. So we'll get to that. Plus, we'll talk some Tom Cruise
because Adnan hates
Tom Cruise. I love this man. I'm so excited to catch up with him. His podcast is a must listen. The Cinephile podcast, part of the Lebatard Network, Lebatard and Friends. So Adnan Virk going to join the show coming up next. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And want to remind you as well, we've been talking some golf. You know, it's golf season across the country now. You've been hibernating. The clubs have been in the garage. And now Callaway is here for you because they didn't just create their longest irons ever with the new Rogue ST. No, 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 no. They made their longest irons ever perform at the highest level for every single player. That's right. You can be Hallie Ledbetter. You can be TJ Jefferson. The Rogue ST irons come in four different offerings, each model using artificial intelligence. You got AI on golf clubs? On high-strength 450 steel, the only irons ever to do this. Their most popular iron of the bunch, of course, it's the Rogue ST Max. It's designed for the widest range of players because of its refined game improvement shaping, an incredible combination of speed, forgiveness, and all-around performance. That's actually how your better half describes you, Chris.
Thank you.
Combination of speed, forgiveness, and all-around performance. But for you low to mid-single-digit handicappers, that's not TJ, Rogue ST Pro will give you that hollow body construction in a sleek, compact player shape. Callaway's best game improvement model is Max OS, which gives mid to high handicappers total forgiveness with high launch, wide soles, and enhanced offset. There's also Max OS Lite, their most forgiving high launch iron. It comes with wider soles and increased lofts in a lightweight package for players with slower swing speeds. No other irons on the planet perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST irons at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue-golf, the only sport you believe you can get better at as you get older. The show rolls on. Ben Lyons in for Rich. Adnan Virk coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back, everyone, to the Rich Eisen Show. My name is Ben Lyons. I have the honor and privilege of hanging out all week filling in for Rich as he goes to try and eat Italy out of all the pasta in the country. I will be filling in, talking sports, talking pop culture, and nobody loves both more than my next guest, a dear friend, my Academy Awards brother for life, Adnan Virk, joins the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Ben. Congrats on the gig, on the return. I had the pleasure of talking to Rich, actually, when I did a show on Peacock called Winter Gold during the Olympics. And I said, hey, Rich, I love you, but I love when Ben Lyons fills it even more. So I hope he's enjoying his pasta. And it's great to reunite as always, buddy.
Thanks, Adnan, for being a friend and my publicist. I appreciate it. I want to talk movies. I want to talk baseball. But I want to talk tennis out of the gates. Your buddy Roger Federer, no longer the GOAT, huh?
Devastating news to see Djokovic win yesterday, although I will fight that what you just said about him no longer being the GOAT, because there are many different qualifications saying someone is the best. As you know, I have no interest in golf, but you love golf. Now, if somebody argues in golf somebody is the best player ever only because of majors, well, that's just one criteria. Now, that may be the right criteria, but I'm just saying it's only one. Nicklaus is 18, and, of course, Tiger, Arnie, etc. But as Van Pelt has told me many a time, there are people who argue Arnold Palmer is still the greatest golfer of all time. In hockey, Gretzky obliterates the competition when it comes to points. But there are people of a certain age who say Gordie Howe is still the best, and Bobby Orr revolutionized the game. So, to your point, yes, in order just by majors, Nadal is 22, Djokovic is 21, Federer has 20. But if you want to argue appeal of the game, impact of the game, popularity of the game, most beloved by the game, most money won, most tournaments won, then Federer is still very much in the conversation.
Very fired up, Adnan Virk joining the show, which I knew I'd get him going with the tennis talk. What is it about Federer that has you so enamored with this man?
There's a great article, Ben, by David Foster Wallace. It's called Federer as Religious Experience. It's a brilliant article, and I, like many, enjoy the pilgrimage and the worship of Federer. And I think it comes down to this very essence. He makes greatness look so effortless. And I think the athletes that we most admire, you generally appreciate the fact they've got that clutch gene and they can do it without breaking a sweat. Nadal is admired and envied by many, but he looks like a bull in a china shop. He's literally snorting the entire time. He looks like he's wringing every ounce of energy from his body. And that can certainly be appealing to some. But if you look at Gretzky, if you look at Jordan, if you look at Federer, these guys seem to do it without breaking a sweat. And I think particularly in tennis, which is a really aesthetically pleasing game, if you really love tennis like I do, you can appreciate the beauty of the game. And there's never been anyone who makes the game look as beautiful as Roger Federer.
Talking about effortless, the way that Adnan can go from Oscar talk to MLB, NHL Network, I saw on the screen just now. I forgot that he works with them. Like, you're able to touch on so many different things that you're passionate about. Right now in the world of baseball, what's the biggest story for you heading into the All-Star break?
I think it's Ohtani again, Ben. I know people go same old, but listen, the Angels are having another miserable season. They look like a playoff team the first month or so, but then had a calamitous 14-game losing streak, and they're not going to make the playoffs. But Ohtani is still remarkable. As they cough it up, he is sublime. His pitching numbers, he's pitching even better this year than he was last year. ERA's but a half run lower. He's walking less, and he's striking out more. He's on pace to strike out 207 batters over 150 innings. That's impressive, right? And offensively, a year ago he had 45 home runs. He's not on pace for that. He's only on pace for 38 home runs and 100 RBI. As John Heyman said to me, as a hitter, he's J.D. Martinez. And as a pitcher, he might be Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole makes $36 million a year. J.D. Martinez makes $24 million. Well, then Ohtani should be getting $50 million a year. He's the best bargain in sports. He makes $5 million a year. It's incredible the Angels have such a steal in Ohtani, and yet they're not even close to the playoffs. They're paying $30-plus million to Trout, who's incredible, but $30-plus million to Rendon, who's also hurt. So that's a real disappointment. But I also think, Ben, big markets are crushing it. The Yankees are the best team in baseball and the most popular team, arguably, in American sports. The Mets are in first place in the NL East, although the Braves World Series champions are coming. They're a game and a half back, huge three-game series tonight. Scherzer pitching for New York. And your beloved Dodgers are the class of the NL West. They were tied with the Padres a few weeks ago, but LA flexing their muscle. Big market teams bringing it right now in baseball.
Yeah, great to see Clayton Kershaw back in the All-Star game as well, ninth time in his career. Adnan, we switch gears now once again from the world of baseball to the world of movies. You're the biggest Tom Cruise hater on the planet. What is happening?
Yeah, I was going in the hives there, having to listen to that rejoin there from Rob Lowe extolling his virtues. As I've said all along.
See?
There's no denying.
Oh.
What's that?
No, we lost you. As I said all along, dramatic pause, the phone goes out. I guess Tom Cruise is in the back cutting the wires.
Oh no,
Adnan, we lost Adnan.
Oh,
see,
hold on,
Adnan,
you can't be smirch Cruz, man.
Adnan sounds like he's being held like captive and needs Tom Cruise to come rescue him.
Just have him call back.
Just have him call like.
Wait, is Tom Cruise getting
the Mission Impossible. But that's a bummer. That's a bummer. But I love this man because he can literally talk Roger Federer with like expert analysis as a top tennis analyst would, and you switch gears and break down what's happening in baseball. And that is ridiculous that Ohtani's only making $5 million a year. Like, he should be getting 55.
Well, he'll be getting a lot more than that in 2 years.
We're gonna figure that out. And then he switch gears and we can talk some golf, and right, we can talk some movies or all that stuff. Do we have this man back?
Yeah, he's back.
We got the Dixie cups and the string connected now. All right, we got Adnan back. What's up, buddy? You were talking about how Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time, and we lost you.
Paul Newman is rolling over in his grave as you say that. But Tom Cruise, it's undeniable, his charisma and his longevity. The fact he's been a movie star for almost 40 years is awfully impressive. But he is a horrific human being. When I saw your tweets and you and your dad saw Top Gun a preview screen and Tom Cruise rocks, I almost had to say delete your account, Ben. This guy, and if there's one person out there, this is all I do. Every single time I go on these screens against Cruise, if I change one person's mind and go watch Going Clear, The Case Against Scientology, that's a brilliant documentary by Alex Gibney, and it changed my life. Prior to seeing that documentary, if you asked me about Tom Cruise, I would have said, I think he's a little overrated, but hey, I love Magnolia. He worked with Scorsese in Color of Money. He certainly had a great career. I think he's an overrated actor, but yes, he's a movie star. I watched that documentary. I said, listen, you cannot separate fact from fiction. This guy is a reprehensible human being. And that documentary by Gibney is incredible. And God bless Leah Remini, who in Top Gun, everyone's tweeting about it. Oh, what a great film. She goes, hey, don't forget what Tom Cruise stands for. And this is why he is vile. Because Scientology abuses people. They treat people horribly. And when you try to leave, they cause irreparable damage to your life. And you say, what's that to do with Tom Cruise? He's just a member of Scientology. He doesn't run the thing. And I say, come on. David Miscavige runs it. Tom Cruise is his right-hand man. If Cruise came out once, Ben, and said, hey, listen, you guys got to knock this off. Stop treating people so poorly if they don't want to be Scientologists. Allow them to leave. You should be able to leave any religion you want. And that's not a religion. It's a cult anyways. But instead, this behavior exists. And watch 1 hour and 50 minutes of going clear. The great Paul Haggis, you always defend the fact that Crash won Best Picture, even though I think it was a joke and Brokeback Mountain should have won. But Haggis is brilliant. He's Canadian. He wrote Million Dollar Baby. He's a former Scientologist. And he's amazing in that documentary. He talks about the horrible things these people do. And the fact that Cruise turns a blind eye to it, I can't turn a blind eye to it. And normally you and I can watch films and we can separate who these people are. Yes, they can be adulterers. Yes, they're drug addicts. Yes, they're not perfect people. But what Cruise stands for to me is beyond vile. And that's why I watched Top Gun 2. And I'll tell you right now, it's a perfectly adequate movie. Okay, this Best Picture talk is nonsense. It is melodramatic. It's predictable. And I get that it's fun. You want to go enjoy the film, by all means. But please go watch Going Clear and make my day and see what this guy stands for.
Adnan Virk joining the show. Fired up. Wow, I appreciate Adnan. You so much, Adnan. I really do. You put the big picture in perspective. And, you know, this is a question that we have to ask ourselves across the way we consume art, the way we watch sports, the way the people we vote for in politics. There's so much of this stuff that gets blurred. And I understand you even mentioned Paul Haggis. Paul Haggis is not, you know, the best person to mention in that defense of your argument as well right now.
You're right. He's not immune either. He's faced issues with regards to sexual assault. And people say, listen, well, how do you pick and choose? Well, you have to look at each person and each egregious violation. Ben, as you know, I love Broadway. I took my wife to see Beetlejuice on her birthday. I was appalled that MJ the Musical is still happening. I'm like, are you kidding me? Speaking of documentaries, go watch Finding Neverland and see what Michael Jackson did. I can't believe anybody could sit and watch a Woody Allen movie. You, me, and your father know how funny he is. We know how brilliant he is as an auteur. But if you watch and learn anything that Woody Allen's done, you go, how could you possibly support this guy's work? So, again, that doesn't mean you castigate every single person in Hollywood, but I do think you have to make that personal choice and say, all right, what can I stand with? What can I separate between art and art for its sake? And certainly for a few people at least, I can't take it.
I'm just very happy, Adnan, genuinely so, that you're taking your wife to see something fun in the city, because usually you go to New York for religious persecution movies, and that would have been a really tough birthday for her.
You'll love this even more, Ben. I'd never seen Moulin Rouge. It's one of her favorite movies. So for Valentine's Day, I surprised her by going to see Moulin Rouge, the musical, and I doubled down by watching the movie the night before. You'll be stunned by this. I liked it. I was stunned. I said, there's no way I'm going to like this bad Lurman melodrama, this romantic artifice. I didn't like the first half. I thought it was hilarious. Jim Broadbent's hilarious. He's got great razzle dazzle. As you and I know, when it comes to Baz Luhrmann, it's more style than substance. But Moulin Rouge, I can see why people love that movie so much. And the musical is terrific. And as much as I'm deploring all the people talking about Top Gun for Oscar talk, I will bang the drum slowly for Elvis. Again, I was skeptical because Baz can be more style than substance, but we need more directors like this, Ben. He takes big chances, big swings. I thought Austin Butler gave a star-making performance as the king. Production design, costume design. You and I know how hard it is for music biopics to cut through for the Oscars. Look at Rocketman a few years ago, summer release, snubbed by the Oscars. I'd love to see Elvis get some love. I give it 3.5 Maple Leafs. How about my major quibble of the movie is I'm one of America's favorite actors. I thought Tom Hanks was the worst part of the movie. And I love Tom Hanks. But he looked like he was drowning in latex. Horrible accident as the colonel. But go check out Elvis. I thought it was a heck of a movie.
Adnan, you got so much going on this summer, covering Major League Baseball, covering big summer movies. But the big thing in your household this year was your oldest graduated 8th grade. And he did something to send you a little tribute, which I thought was very nice.
Oh, thank you for mentioning, Ben. Yes, young Yusuf graduating 8th grade. And shout out to my son, Dean. He graduated elementary school. And my Shaz is 5. He graduated preschool. Little Maz still in preschool. But very proud of all 4 Virk boys. But very cool of Yusuf. On the graduation day, he didn't tell me. My parents were visiting. They came down just to see his graduation. 8-hour drive from Toronto. My sister-in-law flew into town just to see him. And everybody up there is dressed beautifully. I mean, these are 13-year-old kids. They look so smart and sharp and beaming. And he put on my fedora. He had my fedora and his crummy sunglasses, and he looked great. I thought, what a great tribute. He's wearing his dad's fedora. And when he went to the front, Ben, the teacher said, hey, you can't wear a hat for the picture. He said, okay, I'll take it off for the picture. But when they call my name, I'm wearing my dad's hat. It was a really, really proud moment. So I like any student who sticks it to school administrations and does whatever they want. Let people be who they want to be, right? I want to wear my dad's fedora, damn it. I'm going
to
do it.
Very cool. Very cool. Congrats to him. Congrats to you. And I love that you're developing a signature look. It's like a Richard Schiff fedora. It's like an Adnan Virk hat is now a thing. It's very cool. I'll talk to you soon, my man. Thanks for checking in.
Ben, I appreciate it, man. Normally people go for the doors when you're bald, but I said, listen, I think it's a good look no matter what. So I hope you and I reunite sometime soon, and we're both wearing fedoras to go check out a flick.
No, I will never wear a hat that is not sports related. I just can't pull it off. I'm sorry. I can't do Coachella in the wintertime. Sorry, bro. Appreciate you, Adnan.
Ben, you're the best. Have a great show. Talk soon, pal.
Adnan Virk joining the show. All right, can you see me, Brockman, in a hat that's not sports related?
No, Coachella.
Shout out to Nick Fouquet. I love this man, but I'm not going to wear his Carmelo Anthony hats. I just can't do it.
Who is headlining Winter Coachella?
I mean, is there a Winter Coachella? What is Winter Coachella? I don't know.
I don't know. Just
Winter Coachella. I think we're onto something. TJ's like, oh, yeah, I went to that 20 years ago. I introduced Rage Against the Machine on stage, and Flea gave me a foot massage. I'm like,
no,
what?
Time for Rage.
Hey, do you guys know that... Weekends are better with MLB Sunday Leadoff. That's right. You can catch the Kansas City Royals as they play the Toronto Blue Jays with coverage starting Sunday at 11:30 Eastern. Love waking up with baseball. Only on Peacock. Blue Jays got a squad. That whole AL East is ridiculous.
Exact.
I saw Vlad Jr. hit three in Yankee Stadium this April. That was a fun night in the Bronx.
Yeah, buddy.
It's a fun D train back to Manhattan as Vlad Jr.'s hit three bombs and the Blue Jays put on a show.
Yeah, they're a real fun team. They're the all-sun team, too. They have...
Dante Bichette's kid.
Yeah, they had Craig Clemens.
Did Clemens' kid pop up or no? That's somebody
He else. Popped up, but he's on...
There's so many guys from our childhood now who are doing it across all sports.
I know, it's kind
sports.
Of awesome. I do love that.
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to that Bronny-Keon Anthony showdown. That was on the schedule for
Manny
ESPN.
Manny Ramirez's son is in the minor leagues. Like, it's a pretty fun time.
LeBron is going to play with a whole team of like guys he played against kids. Shaq's son, Scottie Pippen's team, kid on the team.
Here's a hot take. Everyone knows LeBron's wanting to play with Bronny. What if he's really wanting to play with Bryce?
Honestly,
he has called his twin.
Thought that kid went the magic card route, which is all good. Creative artist. I thought that was his path. But now he's got a little handle and he's good, huh?
He's a legit 6'5 already.
He's in
the eighth grade. Yeah, it's stupid.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we got Danielle Robey checking in. She was out at WNBA All-Star festivities in Chicago, which looked amazing. Kelsey Plum gets the MVP, so we'll catch up in about 40 minutes or so with Danielle. I want to talk a little bit about Russ going back to Denver. We touched on it a little bit, but let's dive a little deeper into the AFC West when we come back. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons in for Rich all week long. Appreciate the opportunity so much.
What's up, Ben Lyons?
Come and hang out with the guys. Last week, I was meeting you guys on television. Like meeting you on the radio. I didn't know you.
Yeah, last
year.
Time.
Golf. Yeah. Yeah, last year at this time.
Oh, you said last week. I was like, wait a minute.
I say last week? Yeah. I meant last year at this time.
Yeah, man.
And
well, you had come in once when Nick Swisher was hosting. If you remember that a few years ago.
Yeah,
you
I said
came
something crazy
guest.
On that, too. I said that LaMelo Ball was the Lindsay Lohan of the NBA, and then I realized I didn't even know what that means.
You're going to walk that back? LaMelo Ball is
means.
The future of the NBA.
I don't know. At one point, Lindsay Lohan was the future of Hollywood. It just was a different Hollywood.
That is factual.
That's a good point.
That's factual.
I did come on that show. That was fun. Nick's the best.
Yeah.
Nick's in London doing some home run contests with legends or something.
I saw that.
I saw him in his uniform in London hitting bombs, and I don't know. That guy lives a life. So.
Your boy Swish.
Love to catch up with him. He's doing a big... St. Jude fundraiser out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, which I think
you
got cool.
to get Swish to
month.
Call in, man.
I would love to get him to call in.
Him,
you know? I told you, I saw that guy at a wedding, and he had a T-shirt on that said, "Don't bro me unless you know me."
I remember that.
So awesome. What's up, bro?
What's up, bro? Yeah, we had a bro count one time when Swish was in. I think it was like 48 or something. It was
it's been a minute.
So it's nice to come back this week and hang out with the guys and actually know who I'm going to be talking with and what your guys' interests are and stuff. And I know football is obviously top of mind on this show. And you guys are genuine NFL fans, like deeply. I'm on the text. I watch the show. I've been to the NFL game with Brockman. Like I played the 50-50. Like I get it.
We did not win, by the way, in case anyone out there was wondering.
No, because if we won the 50-50, I don't know if I'd be here right now. I mean, Tijuana. the big thing that I wanted to see more of in the NFL this offseason is more high-profile player mobility. I think it adds intrigue and interest to the city. Now, the NBA has gone a little too far with it, but it's a big reason why they have been able to culturally stay kind of top of mind in the zeitgeist. And besides Russell Wilson leaving Seattle, can't really think of another just off the top. Tyreek Hill leaving, I guess, is a big deal.
Yeah.
Some of the skilled positions.
Yeah, Davante Adams.
Davante Adams is a big deal.
He goes from Green Bay to the Raiders.
But, you know, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, Von Miller, big name. Not exactly the MVP type player
Matt Ryan leaving Atlanta. Yep. I guess that happened while I was gone. But I think the Russ move to Denver could really, not only, it's obviously high profile, but it could really be impactful in that this dude is a winner. And say what you want about Russ, if you don't like him, if you think the stuff with Sierra's corny, whatever. The dude elevates people. He reminds me of working with someone like Rich or someone, you know, who is at the top of their field. And it just elevates everyone else around them. Like, you guys know when Rich is in, you guys, and not to say you're not with me, but I do have a little substitute teacher vibes. But the idea that you guys are on it, you're focused, you're dialed in, you're producing, you're doing the boards, you're doing the social, like everyone's, and it's not from anything he says. He's not saying to you guys, do this, do that. It's just their presence, and there's a confidence that they exude that makes everybody else buy in and feel a part of it. And I know he might not be one of the guys, or that story you heard about Russell Wilson coming out of Seattle. Like, the locker room is very divided, but that dude is a winner. Like, I spend 10 minutes with him and you realize that he has that ability to just get it done and just to be great. And I think that, I don't know, I think that that move will actually, not only it's a splashy move in the summertime, but it's a move that could get them to the playoffs, that could get them back into respectable football, because it's been a while.
Yeah, well, I wonder what you think that is. Like, what is it about him? You spent time around
around Russell. Like, I did a lot of work with the Players Tribune when that launched, and Russell Wilson was in all the early meetings and stuff.
But even just, like, you spent a lot of time around movie stars and rock stars. Like, is it just a quality? Like, not everyone has it. Not everyone can be, like, you know, despite what we heard, what Adnan said, like, Tom Cruise, who, you know, we heard the viral clip about... Mission Impossible. We are doing something important here, you know. Mm-hmm. What is it about these guys?
Yeah.
You know?
I think with Russ, there's like a he's comfortable being uncomfortable in his own skin. I think he's in a weird place right now with that. And I think it's good that the idea that he was always trying to be somebody else or something else. And I think now he's just accepted, like, I'm a corny winner. And that's awesome for me. I think that's the thing that I connect with successful people, engaging people, people you want to, you know, you're gravitated towards. They're just comfortable in their own skin. Like, there's nothing awkward about Kevin Garnett. It's awkward for you when he screams and curses at you on why Ben Wallace should be in the Hall of Fame and how you've never stepped on a basketball floor, even though you're like, I played private school basketball, dog. But I think there's a comfort in your own skin that gravitates, you know, you to somebody. And I think Russell has that in a way now by being like uncomfortable. Like, he was trying to fit in and trying to be one of the guys when he was younger. He had more success, you know, early on in his career than he probably should have for his contract, for his, you know,
being a third round pick.
That. And now that's kind of like leveled off. And I think he's in this place of, look, I got 10 years to do this at a high level, maybe 7. I'm going to dedicate everything I have to, and I'm all in on him. I think if he's on your football team, you have to be excited, and I think the Broncos are a real shot in the AFC West. It's a tough division. I know last segment I said they might be third or last, but I think they still have a real shot in that.
Yeah, it's obviously a really tough division, TJ. We've been talking a lot about the AFC West.
It's the best division in football.
This offseason, they are the best division in football. Rich thinks the Raiders are going to win the division kind of out of nowhere. He's been really pounding that drum. Mm-hmm. But if you look, and I refer this to you because I know you are reading the comments, the mentions that we get, Broncos fans are fired up, mm-hmm. and they're very angry about the disrespect that they've been getting this offseason by everyone being like, so what if they got Russell Wilson? They're still fourth in the division. And I kind of am with you. I don't love Russell Wilson. I think, like I said, I think he's super corny. I don't know if I buy that he believes a lot of the things that he's saying.
Nobody does is what I'm saying. It's like, I know that's how our feelings of him on the outside looking in, I think, clouds our understanding of how impactful and how good he is as a football player.
And I totally believe you on that. But he is an awesome football player.
And he is really corny. And he does do really corny stuff on the internet. And so it makes it really hard for us.
And I'm sure you noticed this too. One thing about Russell Wilson, when I've met him a few times,
gigantic hands.
Oh my God, like Dick Raddatz.
Like absolutely enormous hands for a guy who's 5'11".
No, he's not. He's maybe? Not that tall, but his like, hands is like noticed, a vice.
I've noticed both you guys have used the word corny about him multiple times in this little back and forth. And I'll just say this. If getting Sierra means that I have to be corny, I will, like, then break out the corn. Popcorn, corn on the cob, any type of corn that you can think of.
Kettle corn.
Kettle corn. Like, whatever it takes, then, yeah, then I'll be corny. Here's the deal, right? And I was like, maybe this isn't something to say for this show. This is something a little deeper. But you get guys like, I don't want to go down that route. Let's just go this way. Because Russ isn't, like, I think... I don't even know how I want to say this, right? But there's a way that I think sometimes brothers are looked at as far as athleticism go. And people in their mind have a way about how a guy should look and a guy should talk. And now you got a guy who doesn't look and doesn't talk the stereotypical way that people think that he should. And then he comes off as corny, which I think is kind of weak. And I'm not calling you guys weak. I'm just saying
no, that whole argument of him being corny
because he doesn't come off like a hood or something.
Not that at all. I think it's being authentic. I think being who you are and truly and understanding your own voice. And that takes a long time for people to find. That doesn't always happen. And I think he's at a place now where he's found it and he can go be great and continue to be great.
Yeah, I have a lied on my mind about that, but this isn't the forum. We'll talk about that.
No, it's good. Like 10 seconds before a hard break, like to get into like a really serious, weighty subject that'll have a lot of nuance and interesting discussion about. Why don't we get into it next? Ben Lyons here, filling in for Rich.
Hard break.
On the Rich Eisen Show.
I heard Hoskins in my ear and I was like, okay.
I guess you're right in a way. You're right, TJ. The corny, I guess, is a lazy word for that. I think for me, for Russell Wilson, my issue with him is just like,
you don't think Russ is being authentic to himself.
I don't think
you say all the time.
It's just he just doesn't say anything. So like everyone's like, oh, we got Russell Wilson. I'm not interested in that interview because it's a lot of like, man, I'm just out here. I'm working hard. I'm doing the best I can, and we're gonna get together. We're a team. Go Hawks.
Yeah.
What was the point of that? Like that's.
But I think that's who he genuinely is.
I'll never get back.
I don't think he's putting on any air acting. I think he's the guy who would talk in those type that type of CEO talk where you don't really say anything, but you have everybody fired up. And I'm Russell Wilson. Ask me about the upcoming season.
All right, Russ, new team, new situation. You're going to Denver. How excited are you for the new year?
So excited for the opportunity. Got in the gym with the guys. Really looking forward to the season. I love my Hawks Nation. I'll always have a part of me in Seattle. But right now, it's all about the Denver Broncos, and I'm expecting some big things for us this year. Like, that's what he would say in that answer, right?
And you think that he genuinely believes that answer.
Yes, and it's kind of corny and cheesy, and that's okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, man, we're going to be fourth in this division. Our team stinks. Like, he's not going to say that.
Yeah, but nobody's going to say that. But, just like the whole, like, rah-rah, sibling.
They're going to say the answer I gave and not believe it, but inside be like, oh, we really say. He really, like, is, I think, like that. Yeah. I think he's like this guy.
And I guess Russell Wilson's been in our life now for over 10 years, and I've had a hard time just connecting with that person. You're not a real person. You don't seem real to me.
That's who he really is, right? So it's like it's not this veneer that you thought it was. It's actually like he is this person. I think that's what it is. It's very meta.
Personally, it's like not a black or white thing. Tom Brady was the same way for 20 years. It was like Jesus.
Aaron Rodgers finding his voice.
A robot. Like I'm not interested.
No, Aaron.
Even though he played for my team.
Totally. Aaron Rodgers 10 years ago wouldn't have gotten that tap, and now he's in this place where he's more in tune with his authentic voice, and so he goes out there and he gets like the Kyrie logo on his arm.
That's a really bad tattoo.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of killer.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of killer because it's aggressive. Like, it's not like a butterfly or something. It's like, it's aggressive.
There's a lot happening.
There's a lot happening to break down here. That's why I respect it. You didn't just get like a love mom and a heart. Like, you get like a nugget ship and some barbecue sauce and he's just dunking the nugget.
Dip. You double dipping?
Yeah. Rich Eisen Show coming right back.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.